Hello and welcome to Lynn and Charlie's Christmas Ding Dong 2024 with Charlie Watts and me, Lynn Watts.
Hello. Hi. We're going to start with a few surprises, but before we do that, let's have some music. This is Gaudete and the version by John Rutter, the Cambridge Singers, Farnham Youth Choir and the London Philharmonic Orchestra.
Beautiful piece of music there. Well, later in the show, we're going to pop over to Tasmania to speak to Mark Ransley, and we've got a lovely Christmas message from our local MP for Bexhill and Battle, Dr. Kieran Mullen. But before we do, I have some latest news. Chairman Starmer has a Christmas message for all the pensioners amongst us. He says, if you're cold this Christmas, have you considered our new assisted dying laws? And a little prayer for farmers. Give us this day your daily bread, all of it, all your hard-earned dough, and we will make your redundant lands, when you stop growing food for us, into luxury homes for illegal migrants, the majority which will be built in the southeast.
That's where I'll be since Kieran left me. I wish tears could heat my home. What can I do without fuel? I've got no place, no place to go. It'll be freezing this Christmas without fuel at home. It'll be freezing this Christmas while Keir Starmer's warm.
She doesn't get out of bed till midday because she didn't want to turn the heating on.
Each time I remember I've paid taxes all my life, I cry as I wonder, will I make it, will my wife? I just break down as I look around, and the only things I see are foreign wars and open doors and a freezing OAP. It'll be freezing this Christmas while our money goes abroad. It'll be freezing this Christmas. Rachel Reeves is
where there was a £22 billion black hole in the public finances.
Do you remember last year when Rishi was here? We never thought there'd be an end. And I remember looking at you then. And I remember thinking that next Christmas, things won't be this bad for us. But darling, this year, things are even worse. And we really need warmth. And two-tiered Keir doesn't care at all.
It'll be freezing this Christmas without fuel at home. It'll be freezing this Christmas while Keir Starmer's warm. It'll be cold, so cold without fuel at home this Christmas.
Wish, a short story by Lynn Watts. Lexi was lost. She knew it was her own fault for stomping off from Mummy and her baby brother in a temper like she had, but now she was afraid. Only 5 years old, she didn't know her way back home, even though she'd been born in the small rundown seaside town. She sat down and cried bitterly. It wasn't fair. She'd set all her hopes on getting the pink princess bike with the fairy wheels for Christmas, and now Mummy had told her to choose something else as they simply couldn't afford it this year. All her friends at the new infant school had bikes. Just because her daddy had gone to heaven earlier this year, it didn't seem right that she should miss out. Lexi missed Daddy. She loved Mummy, but Mummy was often sad these days. Lexi buried her face in her hands and rocked backwards and forwards, sobbing uncontrollably. Sylvie stepped outside in the break to smoke a cigarette. What a way to make a living, she thought to herself, dressed up in a bleeding tutu with a wand and crepe wings. Why didn't she listen at school? She could have been a nurse or a teacher, helping people instead of following her dreams to becoming famous. Now she was a second-rate actress, playing the fairy godmother in the touring company's production of Cinderella in this dead-and-alive seaside town. The first performance started after Christmas in January. This was the final dress rehearsal before the Christmas break. Sylvie looked across the green by the promenade opposite the theatre stage door. A little girl was crying her eyes out and she seemed to be all alone. Flicking her cigarette butt away, Sylvie strode across the road and approached her. "Don't cry, little one. What's wrong?" she asked her. Lexi just sobbed more and more. "Hey," Sylvie put her arm round her. "I'm Sylvie. What's your name?" Lexi looked up. Lexi, she sobbed and gasped, and noticing Sylvie's dress, "Are you a fairy?" Sylvie smiled. "Yes, I'm your fairy godmother, and if you stop crying and tell me what's wrong, I might be able to grant you a wish." So Lexi stopped crying. Turning her tear-stained face towards Sylvie, she blurted out the whole sorry story. She told how her daddy had gone to heaven earlier, and how Mummy had to care for her baby brother and her all alone. Now she desperately wanted the pink bike for Christmas more than anything, but Mummy couldn't afford it, and now she had stomped off in a fit of pique and was lost. At this point, the bottom lip quavered and her eyes filled with tears again. "Well, don't cry," said Sylvie. "The first problem we can easily remedy. Come on, we'll go and find your Mummy." She took Lexi's hand and led her across the gardens to the edge of the promenade. "As for the second wish, be a very good girl from now on, don't run away from Mummy again, and we'll see what we can do. Close your eyes and make a wish before you go to sleep each night." They scanned the promenade in each direction. Then there was Lexi's mum, complete with pushchair, looking distraught and calling for her with a rising sense of hysteria. "Off you go, sweetie," said Sylvie, releasing Lexi's hand. Then, becoming conscious of her costume, she turned and ran back through the stage door. "Mummy, Mummy," cried Lexi and threw herself into her mother's arms. "Oh, Lexi, where have you been? I was so worried," said her mother. Lexi explained that she'd been met by a fairy godmother who'd shiny wings, and she'd helped Lexi to find Mummy and her baby brother. Her mother was amused at her childish imagination as they walked home. Sylvie was very moved by the story of the little girl whose daddy had died and who wanted the pink bike for Christmas. She asked the theatre manager about the family. Yes, he said, nice family, the Cotterills. Dad was killed in a road accident last spring. The missus does a great job with the two little ones, but I know for a fact that money is tight. What a sad world. But Sylvie had an idea. She was determined to change the world for one little girl this Christmas. Calling the cast together, she told them all about Lexi Cotterill and her family, all about the bike and her father's death. Now dig deep, you lovely lot, she said. Let's get her that bike for Christmas. I'll start the ball rolling, and she held up a £20 note. Christmas Eve morning, Sylvie was in the toy shop just as it opened. She left looking smug with a bike-shaped parcel wrapped up in Christmas paper under her arm. The theatre manager had furnished her with three complimentary tickets to the matinee performance of the pantomime for the family and had given her Mrs. Cotterill's address. That lady was almost tearful when Sylvie explained to her what the cast of the pantomime had done. Luckily, Lexi was out playing at a little friend's house, so Mrs. Cotterill was able to hide the bike away until she was safely tucked up in bed. Later that night, as she tucked Lexi in, she told her, "Don't forget now, close your eyes and make a wish. Maybe your fairy godmother will grant it. Merry Christmas, darling." Back in a seaside B&B, Sylvie knew that for Lexi, and indeed now for herself too, it would be a merrier Christmas than they had dared hope for.
Well, that's an old blast from the past. I wrote that for a magazine many years ago, and it was published, I think, in a couple of magazines for that particular Christmas. But here's a favourite carol of mine and a beautiful version. It's Yo-Yo Ma and Alison Krauss with the Wexford Carol.
Good people, this Christmas time, consider well and bear in mind what our good God for us has done in sending His beloved Son. With Mary holy, we should pray to God with love this Christmas day in Bethlehem. Upon that morn, there was a blessed Messiah born. Near Bethlehem did shepherds keep their flocks of lambs and feeding sheep, to whom God's angels did appear, which put the shepherds in great fear. Prepare and go, the angel said, to Bethlehem. Be not afraid, for there you'll find this happy sleep babe, sweet Jesus born. With thankful heart and joyful mind, the shepherds went this babe to find. And as God's angel had foretold, they did our Savior Christ behold. Within a manger He was laid, and by His side the Virgin Maid, attending on the Lord of life, who came on earth to end all strife. Thank you.
That's a beautiful carol, I really like that. Yeah, that's Yo-Yo Ma with Alison Krauss and the Wexford Carol. Now, a man who was trapped in a snow globe factory for several hours has said a big thank you to all his rescuers. He said he was basically unarmed, just a bit shaken up. I don't know whether you knew this, but I come from a family of failed magicians. There are only three of us left, me and my two half-sisters. But local news in, Bexhill residents are furious that someone has stolen all the bus stop signs in the Coudon Road area. Honestly, where do these people get off? Oh, on that really freezing afternoon last week, I was nearly knocked off my bike by the council grit spreader. You dozy git, I yelled through gritted teeth.
Well, I don't know about you, but I can't get to see my doctor. I had an appointment 3 years ago and he said I was going deaf. I haven't heard from him since.
A Hastings man was admitted to the Conquest Hospital last weekend.
Charlie seems to have corpsed there, so I think I'll take over. A Hastings man was admitted to the Conquest Hospital last weekend with 32 plastic horses up his rectum. A spokesman described his condition as stable.
Oh, dear. Oh, my kids keep telling me I'm putting on weight. Not surprising, really. I've had so much on my plate lately. And thieves have stolen 20 crates of Red Bull from a Bexhill supermarket. I don't know how these people sleep at night.
Well, what's to be said after that? Let's have a Nuna with the Coventry Carol.
Oh.
Oh, beautiful, the Coventry Carol there with Nuna. And just in, there's been an accident on the 259 Barnhorn Road between a lorry carrying 15 tonnes of self-raising flour and a farm fresh lorry carrying eggs and margarine. The melting and messy spilt load has closed the road for several hours. Fortunately, no one was injured, but an eyewitness said, "I can't believe it's not batter." And vets have successfully operated on a parrot to remove its owner's wristwatch that it had swallowed. The operation was a huge success, but now all it talks is politics. Well, I think Mark Ransley is ready for us now on this Christmas Day. Of course, it's evening out there in Tasmania, but he's agreed to join us. So we're going over to Tasmania to speak to Mark. So good day, Mark. Happy Christmas to you.
Good day, Lynn. Happy Christmas to you and Charlie and Sid and the whole family. They're too big to say them all, but you know who I mean.
I know who you mean. And likewise to yours.
Happy Christmas, Mark.
So what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing this Christmas Day?
Well, it's hot already. It's quite hot. It's already 20 degrees and expected to get up to 28.
Wow.
So hot. About three here.
So
we do a different setup to what you do. We not so much now. In the old days, we did the roast meals and the plum pudding and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Not too much now because most of those people have died in the family. They've died off. So
yeah.
Mostly it's just a barbecue. We have lobster and prawns. I know you don't like any of that, then, but we have a seafood banquet. And
it's only me. I mean, Charlie likes
it. We just have a big a lovely feast, but it's outdoors underneath the walnut tree sort of thing. So it's nice, and we just look out looking at the boats. So we're pretty lucky, I suppose.
Yeah,
fantastic,
beautiful view.
Now, do people still dress up in Father Christmas suits with big white beards and that sort of stuff? Look,
they do, but it's mostly in department stores. My mate Roscoe, who rides around on his motorbike doing it, I find it a bit odd, but anyway, they do.
Roscoe takes presents to the kids, doesn't he, in the orphanages?
Well, he throws lollies. He gives kids lollies, which is a bit of a worry. The police are watching him.
That's a funny man giving kids lollies. Poor old Roscoe. An excuse to ride his Harley Davidson dressed as Father Christmas, I suppose.
Exactly. So he's happy with that. And other than that, it's just one of those days you probably do the same thing. You eat and eat and eat till you're nearly sick, and then you can't move.
And, we do it indoors because it's too cold for anything else. But we're supposed to all go for healthy walks after lunch. With dogs, and you do see quite a few people out with families walking, kids on their brand new bikes, and that sort of thing. But because of where we live, you don't really get that because you can't sort of just go out for a walk down the village because we're in the middle of nowhere. So we take Sid to the woods and see a few people.
That freeway outside you wouldn't walk along that, would you, to save yourself?
Believe it or not, we did one year, didn't we? We had so much heavy snow. It wasn't Christmas, but it was around that time. Such a heavy snowfall, probably about 14 years ago now. And the road was so quiet, we were able to walk along the middle of the road to go to the local pub because it was the only place. And it was packed. We had lunch in the local pub because everybody from the surrounding houses had walked to the pub.
To me, that is a beautiful way to spend Christmas. That's something Australians would aspire to, you know what I mean? Because we're just so used to it being hot. It's more just another day, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
So it's not quite as special, I don't think, over here.
No, we don't get snow very often at Christmas. This was the exception. I think it was probably 2010.
It was.
And it wasn't Christmas Day that we walked to the pub, but it was around that period, that time. But, all the cards show these beautiful snow scenes. The climate has shifted these days, and that might have been the case in Edwardian times and Victorian times, but it's very rare now.
Very, very rare indeed.
But we still got the lovely atmosphere. I mean, as you know, we've got a very old cottage. So we put the foliage, we've got the foliage around the fire. our place and the smell of turkey. And it's just really nice. The only problem is, as you know, it's quite small. And we tend to have, especially Boxing Day, everybody descends. So we tend to have masses and masses of people sitting on every available surface you can sit on, balancing plates and glasses. But it's fun. It's
fun. Yeah. I mean, that Friday night we had Chinese. Yeah. And he had a job to, the whole family was there. And it wasn't a lot of room, was there?
No, it wasn't. There never is a lot of room, you know. Yeah. But unfortunately, property prices being what they are, we would literally need a lottery win if we had a house big enough to accommodate everyone, you know.
Oh, you would, didn't you? You'd need a castle. Yeah. A lot of yours.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking on average in this area for your average 3-bed semi. $500,000, you know, it's just ridiculous. So
getting a bit silly.
It's getting very silly, but there you are. Future generations I worry about, but that's another story. And this is a happy day. This is Christmas Day, so we won't talk about depressing things like money. But Charlie's busting to say something.
I was just going to ask, do you guys put up Christmas decorations the way we?
Oh yeah, that's still a big thing.
And Christmas cards.
Christmas cards. I mean, not so much me. I mean, I get one or two a year, one of them from Lynn. And I get one from one cousin, but some people get lots of them, you know. They're a bit of a dying thing, aren't they? I think. But that's nice to get one. It's lovely. But it's just, decorations. Some people, like, I'd say, a good half of the population or more have Christmas trees in the house with decorations and, you know, the baubles and all that stuff, Christmas tree and that business and the Christmas lights. But it's because that's kind of fun.
You hang Father Christmas on the tree by the balls then?
Yeah, we do. But then it turned out that was cruel. So they had to be, you know, the woke folk came in and said, no. So same thing with Easter Bunny, basically, but that's another subject for another day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, you better warn William to get scarce at Easter.
Well, exactly, and we don't want to be rushing too quickly into Easter. Because
we haven't even got this one over with yet. That's good.
Let's get
I mean, we do. We have a tree. We put a few very tasteful, plain white lights outside, but some people go really overboard and you have, you know, flashing Father Christmases literally, and you know, reindeer and goodness knows what. But there is a wonderful village just up the road from us called Westfield, which is sort of between here and Hastings, and the whole village take part and they put hundreds of lights all around and outside their houses, and people drive through the village just to see the Christmas lights.
They collect money for charity.
Yes,
so that's the whole point of it is, you know, people are going to donate money. And they raise quite a lot of money for very good causes locally. So it's a great event that we've been going to for donkey's years, to be honest.
And that's really what Christmas is all about, isn't it? You know, and I mean,
we do the
cards, we do the presents. But I always, nowadays, I tend to send a lot of cards electronically, if I can, because it's better. And if I send cards, and it's about a quarter of the number I used to send, but I always buy them from one or other, or usually two particular animal charities, because that way you're supporting the animal charity. And you know me, I only ever really tend to support the animal charities. That way it helps. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, you've kept Charlie for that long now.
I mean, that's a charity in itself, isn't it?
Well, it's been a charity on its own.
Cheers, guys.
I took him to the vet first and had him seen to, so you know he's he's quite
I do love him. Anyone who's like the both of the listeners, just make sure I do love him.
Well, look, I think we'd better let you get back to your family on Christmas Day. It's so lovely to speak to you. I want to wish all your friends and everybody else and anyone who remembers us in Tasmania a very, very happy and peaceful and, knowing you lot, boozy Christmas. So happy Christmas to you guys.
And happy Christmas to you lot and all.
Lovely. Brilliant.
Happy Christmas, Mark.
Okay. And thanks
Happy
for
Christmas,
joining.
Happy Christmas, Charlie. Happy Christmas, Lynn.
Yeah.
See you next year.
Yeah, see you next year indeed. Okay, thanks. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Dashing through the bush in a rusty Holden ute, kicking up the dust, Esky in the boot, Kelpie by my side, singing Christmas songs. It's summertime and I am in my singlet, shorts and thongs. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Christmas in Australia on a scorching summer's day.
Hey!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, Christmas time is new. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a rusty Holden ute. Dodge the kangaroos, Swaggy climbs aboard, he is welcome too. All the family is there, sitting by the pool. Christmas Day, the Aussie way, by the barbecue. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Christmas in Australia on a scorching summer's day.
Hey!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, Christmas time is mute. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a rusty Holden ute.
It was nice to talk to Mark there.
Yeah, lovely. They're having a great time out there. It must be very strange having, you know, hot sun and barbecues on the beach and prawns and salad.
Completely different to what we would have, isn't it?
Yeah, although they imagine us having snow and, you know, really Victorian Christmas.
I think the rain's a bit colder. Grey, I think that's probably about the best you can say about it.
Absolutely.
Beachcombers Hair Salon, 79 Western Road, Bexhill on Sea, TM41DT. Telephone 01424 213 881. Professional skills and friendly atmosphere. Follow us on Facebook. Thinking of selling your home? Call Bexhill Estates, Bexhill's most highly rated estate agent, for your free no-obligation valuation today on 01424 233330.
In need of a plasterer? Watts Plastering provides affordable plastering, building and decorating services. Contact us today for a quote on 07 376 958 170 or email whatsplasteringservices@gmail.com.
The Catch Fish Bar, the finest fish and chips in Hastings, 211A Bexhill Road, Bexhill. Telephone 01424 424749. Call James for a no obligation quote at JJM Fencing and Landscaping for all your landscaping needs, fencing repairs or replacements in Bexhill. Check out my next door reviews. Call 07491 707 019.
Now, it's not often we get requests for music, but this one is for Linda Fleming,
and this is our very own Linda Fleming of Bexhill Radio. Yeah,
and this is the incomparable Dominic the Donkey.
Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic, the cutest little donkey you never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be, because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la. Jingle bells around his feet and presents on the sled. Hey, look at the Mayor's Derby on top of Dominic's head. A pair of shoes for Louis and a dress for Josephine. The
the label on the inside says they're made in Brooklyn. Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. Children sing and clap their hands, and Dominic starts to dance. They talk Italian to a man he even understands. Kumbaras and kumbaras do they dance a darandel. When Santa Nicola comes to town and brings Ojo Charilla, hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the donkey, jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La la la, la 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 la. La, 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 la.
Hey, Dominic! Buona Natale!
That was Lou Monte, Dominic the Donkey there. And scientists have crossed a sheepdog with a famous brand of ladies' lingerie and got a bra that rounds them up and points them in the right direction. After several complaints, a Bexhill man was told to stop impersonating a flamingo. He had to put his foot down. There was drama when a battle man replaced his bed with a trampoline. His wife hit the roof.
A recent study has found that women who carry a little extra weight live longer than men who mention it. And a wedding has taken place between two Wi-Fi engineers. Reports say the reception was fantastic.
And finally, botanists at Kew sent Mary Poppins on an expedition to find a rare superior British lotus, believed to have been extinct since the 1700s. She found mummified seeds in soil in a small gully at Galley Hill, from which they were able to extract DNA and grow them in the Kew hothouses. They are now a closely guarded rare plant called Super Galley Heliistic Expedition Lotus.
Oh dear.
Well, at least Beck's still going to be famous for something, even if most of the population can't actually pronounce it.
That's true. Yeah, I would struggle with that one, I have to say. Shall we have a bit more music?
Yeah.
I think it'd be really nice, actually, and just on a more serious note, just to play a song for all the people who can't get home for Christmas, and particularly people in the armed forces. So this is Dire Straits with Brothers in Arms.
Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your suffering as the battle reached higher. In the fear and the alarm, you did not desert me, my brothers in arms. Mm-hmm.
Song, and I know that's been a favourite of yours for many, many years. So, yeah, we must think about the armed forces.
Read another one of Lynn Watts's short stories. Now, I don't know whether many of you know this, but Lynn actually was quite a prolific author. She actually had a spot writing for one of the monthly magazines in Sussex for quite a number of years, and when we got enough stories together, we'd put them into book form. And this is one of the Christmas stories called A Christmas Visitor. She looked out at the grey day. Grey skies, nondescript grey weather, bare trees, grey against the December sky. It all matched her grey mood. Christmas was just a few days away, and a very sad one it will be this year too, she thought to herself. Oscar's first Christmas without his beloved granddad, and to top it all, just last month, he'd lost his beloved old dog Sally. It was Oscar's eighth Christmas. His grandfather had moved in with them when he was just 2 years old, following the death of his grandmother. He doted on Oscar, and the feeling was mutual. Illness confined him to a wheelchair, but he and Oscar would go to the park together, play board games, and he'd throw sticks for Sally while Oscar played in the sandpit with his friends. He became more dependent on his daughter Gillian as his illness progressed. In the last few months, he'd declined rapidly. Oscar used to read to him, proudly show off his homework. The illness claimed him just after Oscar started back at school in the September. Oscar seemed to withdraw afterwards. He'd spent hours cuddling Sally and reading to her, she being far too old to chase sticks now. Sally had been around all of Oscar's life. She was already 6 years old when Oscar was born, and Dad had been concerned as to how she would take to the baby, but he needn't have worried. Her natural good nature shone through, and she became a big golden retriever nanny to the baby and an extra playmate to all of his friends as he grew up. In the last few weeks of her life, she'd slowed down considerably and seemed to visibly shrink in stature. even though her muzzle was completely grey and cataracts covered both eyes, her tail would gently swish over the floor when Oscar came home from school, and she'd slowly waddle to the door to greet him. And then last month she slept more and more, and slowly slept her gentle life away in her dog bed by the range in the kitchen. Oscar was distraught. They all were. Gillian would have bought Oscar a new puppy, but just last week, to top it all off, her husband had been made redundant. What a bleak prospect Christmas was now. No Sally or Grandad, and precious little money. Tears pricked her eyes. She angrily wiped them away and sniffed mightily. She turned from the window and looked back at the job vacancies column in the local paper. She and Mike had agreed that whoever got a job first, the other one would look after Oscar and the house. But she hadn't worked for 8.5 years, and what could she do that would pay a living wage? She scanned the pages, willing a job to appear that she could do. Mew! She thought she heard a faint sound somewhere, but none of her neighbours owned cats. She returned to her job search. Mew! Mew! There it was again. She opened the back door, and a small tabby cat, no more than a kitten, was on the back doorstep. It looked up at her, and she saw its little pink mouth open. Meow, it said, and ran a little back, watching her all the while. Hello, sweetie, she said. Where did you come from? Meow, said the cat, and looked pleadingly at her. Gillian found a tin of sardines in the cupboard. She put a bowl of them on the back step for the cat. But to her amazement, the little thing ate only one and took a mouthful of them, and it ran off down the back garden. The next day she asked around. None of the neighbours knew anything about a little cat. The local grocer thought that the student house 3 streets away had adopted a small cat, but they'd all moved out and no one lived there now. By all accounts, they'd just abandoned it, he told Gillian. On Christmas Eve, a letter arrived for Mike, calling him back for a second interview with a local company that he'd long wanted to work for. This cheered them up so much that they splashed out on some of his redundancy pay on a bike for Oscar's present. That should help cheer him up a little bit, Mike told Gillian. Christmas morning dawned, cold, crisp and clear, with a nip of frost in the air. Determined to make the best of it, Gillian had decorated the house and got a huge tree for the sitting room. She put on the CD of Christmas carols to accompany her in the kitchen while she prepared the sprouts. Mike was in the garden with Oscar and his new bike. It had been her daily routine to put out milk and food for the little cat. She intended that it would have some of the trimmings from their modest Christmas dinner. Only chicken this year, they couldn't run to a turkey. She watched it run off with a mouthful of food. Today she would follow it. At the back of the garden was an old concrete shed. The wooden door had a large gap at the top and the bottom. They only kept old garden tools in there, then outdoor toys, so it was hardly used. The little cat disappeared under the door with a fish in its mouth. Opening the door, Gillian stood in amazement. Curled up in an old orange box were two beautiful baby little tabby kittens, almost as big as their mum. The dear little cat had been feeding her little family as best she could. Oscar and Mike had followed, and Oscar was already cooing over them. Oh, please, Mum, Dad, please, can we keep them? Please? Mike picked up the box, cats and all, and carried them into the kitchen. Placing them by the range, he and Oscar gently stroked the little cat, while Gillian found some more bowls for water, milk, and later, chicken. Look, squeaked Oscar, there's an old gift tag in this box. It says, To Oscar, Happy Christmas, love from Grandad. Gillian remembered that her father had made Oscar a little wooden dog toy on wheels when he was small, and he'd put it in the orange box. I'll call her Sally, said Oscar. Gillian told him they'd pop to the supermarket the following day and buy some proper cat food and collars for the little family. I'll buy them some toys with my Christmas money. What a wonderful present from Grandad, said Oscar. Happy Christmas.
And happy Christmas to all our listeners today, this Christmas Day, and thank you for joining us here on Bexhill Radio. Well, those were the sort of throwaway 20 minutes over a coffee on the back of a napkin type stories that I wrote for magazines at the request of a deputy editor of one of them. It was a mutual friend of ours, and they were just the sort of things women in the hairdressers read in magazines. But I also wrote quite a few serious books. There were 4 decent biographical books, 2 on the Kentish 19th century Kentish Ordington gang of smugglers,
of which of course Mark Ransley is the great grandson
of George Ransley, the leader of the gang.
Absolutely.
There were biographical books on my career in nursing, and of course the more serious stuff is what I teach to GPs and dental practices, which is medical emergencies, and a specialist book on dressage. So it's a bit late for your Christmas stocking presents, but maybe next year if you want to buy any of those, you can order them from any good bookshops or Waterstones, or you can get them on Amazon.
Are you implying that Waterstones isn't a good bookshop?
Well, yes, but they're the most famous one, but any good bookshop would have them.
Hush my mouth.
Any good bookshop should have them, you know. they can order them in anyway if they don't have them in stock.
Absolutely.
Well, we are very fortunate that our local MP, Dr. Kieran Mullen, has agreed to come and give a few words of a Christmas message to his constituents of Bexhill and Battle. His constituency diary was absolutely rammed full, so he's recorded it all the way from Westminster. Now, he's obviously, hopefully, on a well-earned Christmas break, because I don't think I've known a more proactive local MP. He's done such amazing things since he's been in place. He is. But he did very kindly take some time out of his busy day in Westminster to record this. So we're going to hear now a message from Dr. Kieran Mullen. Hello, Kieran. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Lynn. Thank you again for having me back on. Always a pleasure to come on and speak to your listeners.
Lovely. You're very welcome. Well, I hope you're enjoying Christmas, having a nice Christmas, but I understand you've got a message for everybody else.
Yes, I have. And I guess I wanted to start really, of course, again, thanking all those people that voted me in to be your MP earlier this year. And I just wanted to really reflect on the amazing community spirit that I've come to really spend time getting to know since becoming the MP. As the MP, of course, lots of people invite you along to the work that they're doing and their events, keen to show you the best of what they're doing on behalf of communities. And there have just been so many of these groups in so many different ways that I've got to meet and get to know over recent months, whether it's litter picking groups, whether it's people volunteering with young people in youth groups, whether it's sporting activity for people of all ages in our local communities, whether it's people helping people in need, so Citizens Advice Bureau and groups helping the homeless. Tidying up our area, I've had the pleasure of going out in the Bexhill Heritage Group and the work they're doing in Bexhill in particular to restore things like the mural on the Sainsbury's wall and our beach huts on our seafront. The new beach garden that's been opened again by local community volunteers. And each and every one of these things relies on the goodwill of people in our communities, our neighbours, our friends and family members. Without them, these things wouldn't be happening and we all benefit from them. And so my message really to everyone was one of thanks to those people on behalf of all of my constituents and your listeners, and to encourage people to think about perhaps joining in some way, shape or form. It can be an hour a month. It could be an hour a year, even maybe some way in which we can support each other in making Bexhill a better place to live, work and raise a family. Now, I know very often volunteers tend to be the newly retired. That's the statistics. That's what they tell us. But I know there are people of all ages and backgrounds that sometimes can find time to help out in some way. I know sometimes people are afraid of a commitment and sign themselves up to something that maybe they then have to carry on doing. But volunteering can be really flexible and you can just do what you're able to do and come and go from volunteering as fits your lifestyle. So my new message really is to be grateful for those people in our communities who are doing so much to help us and think about maybe finding some way in the next 12 months, if you're able, and not everybody is, to help them help us too. And with that, I wish everybody really a really fantastic Christmas and New Year period.
That's really nice. Thank you so much, Kieran. And I'm sure we all wish you a happy Christmas and we'll look forward to all your amazing works in 2025 because you've been extremely active. And I'm sure people will continue to invite you to their events. And I think it's a very sound message. People do need to put their bit back into the community. It makes it better for all. So that's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Christmas. Thanks.
You too.
Bye-bye. And what Kieran says is absolutely true. If any of you have got any time to volunteer for any of these local charities, please do. As some of you may know, I have had the Men's Shed, I've had Bexhill Heritage, I've had lots of the different charities on the show. And one of the helpers did once say to me that he gets as much, if not more, out of the charity than he ever puts in. And he really seriously believes that getting involved in that particular project has actually saved his life, because he didn't have any hope before he got involved in that. And now he's got a wonderful reason to get up in the morning. So, you know, anything from just an hour a week to almost full time, it's entirely your choice. But I think
it's probably time to go.
Yeah, I think time is against us.
We've had a lovely time today.
It has been great. And I just want to we both want to just wish all of you a very happy Christmas.
Absolutely.
And a peaceful and very happy and prosperous 2025. Now, it wouldn't be a show with Lynn Watts on if I didn't play my favourite band, the Lowestoft band, The Darkness. So we're going to go out on that with the delectable Justin Hawkins and his brother. And what better Christmas song than Bell's End? So thanks for joining us on Bexhill Radio.
Yep.
And catch us next time. Enjoy the rest of your Christmas.
Thank you. And happy Christmas to all of you.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Despise of the mold world with you. On the 25th day of the 12th month, the sleigh bells are on time, ringing true. How we cling each the world to that snowflake's hope in hell. Part of last year.